The plan by the House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan of Wisconsin calls for a fundamental overhaul of Medicare for future retirees. Under Paul Ryan's plan, anyone 54 years or younger would be put into a voucher-like program instead of the government paying doctor and hospital bills. The federal government would subsidize purchases of private insurance policies. For more on what these proposed changes would mean for federal workers, we turn to Ed Zirndorfer, a registered employee benefit consultant. Ed, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Amy. Thank you.
So you've looked at the plan, and what would it mean for people down the line?
Well, for non-federal employees do not have access to group health insurance, who have to go out and buy private health insurance, this could be a significant change for their retirement years in the following sense. Right now, people 65 and older generally enroll in Medicare, and there are different parts to Medicare. I'm just going to discuss the two major parts of Medicare. It's Medicare Part A, which is the hospital insurance, and Medicare Part B, which is the medical insurance. You use Part A when you go to the hospital. You use Part B if you see a doctor or outpatient care, that type of thing. And I have to say that most people I know who are over 65 really like Medicare. They like the way it pays for their medical care, and it sort of takes a fear out of their so-called budget, because they're worried that if they have to go to a hospital, they have to go to a doctor, and something for very significant illness, they're going to go bankrupt. Well, that's not the case, because people today have access to Medicare. I know with my own parents, my parents were in the hospital before they passed away for a substantial period of time, and I never saw a bill as a result of it. So what does this mean in terms of federal employees? Well, most federal employees, when they're working for the federal government, have the government's federal employees' health insurance. They pay on average 28% of the total premiums, and the federal government pays the remaining 72%. If an employee wants to carry this health insurance into retirement, the government's health insurance, all they have to fulfill is the following prerequisite. They have to be a participant in the federal employees health insurance during at least all the last 5 years preceding their retirement date. If they fulfill that requirement, they get to carry their health insurance into retirement, and most important, the government still pays 72% of the total premiums, even for a retiree. This is very important. Now, what happens when a federal retiree turns 65? At that time, the retiree is encouraged to sign up for Medicare Part A, and in most cases, Medicare Part B. Once they turn 65, Medicare, under current rules, would be the primary payer of their medical bills, and their federal employees' health insurance generally will pay for most, if not all, of what the Medicare does not pay. So it really gives a federal retiree peace of mind that their health care needs will be taken care of once they retire.
We're talking with Ed Zirndorfer. He's a registered employee benefit consultant. And I wondered, you'd made it clear, but I want to reiterate that this doesn't apply to people who are currently retired or about to retire. This is 54 years old or younger.
Plus, Representative Ryan's budget plan, which was for Medicare, which was approved by the House and has not gone through the Senate yet, would only affect those individuals 54 and younger. Anybody 55 and older would be eligible for the current version of Medicare.
And so my follow-up question to that is about the complexity of having to phase something like that in. Does that make it easier for folks like you who are working with feds who may be impacted by this, or does it make it harder?
Well, I don't think it makes it easier or harder, because if a federal employee retires and keeps the health insurance, when they turn 65, they're going to maintain that. They don't have to shop around for something that's going to be a substitute for Medicare. Because under this plan, the government would provide some vouchers for people 65 and older to go out and get some health insurance. I really have to question that logic, because, you know, it's not a given that you can get health insurance. If you have certain conditions, you may not be able to get it. I don't know how the government's going to provide money for somebody who's so-called not insurable and expect to get health insurance. And that's the beauty about Medicare. They'll take you if you're healthy or not healthy. You get the same benefits.
And, Ed, what about the idea that this may not be as different as we think? Because in many cases, the states themselves that have a big contribution as part of their Medicare payments are simply capping what they can allocate to Medicare state by state, which in effect
well, you're
is
really
like one big giant voucher.
Tom, you're really referring to Medicaid, because Medicaid is a program run, the federal government provides money to the states in the form of Medicaid.
Okay, yeah, all right, withdraw. Yeah, that's Medicaid, not Medicare.
Because
I'm not old enough yet to get them quite exactly right in my mind yet.
Within the next few years, I predict you'll get them all straight.
closer than you think.
They're going to be interchanged a lot, because people who cannot afford to pay the Medicare Part B premiums.
And that's all changing too, right?
That's changing too, but I think the fact of the matter is that federal employees really will not be affected much by these changes to Medicare, if in fact they become to fruition, for the simple reason they don't have to shop around at age 65 to get health insurance. They have the health insurance when they retire, and they carry into retirement. It's great if a retiree has Medicare, because my rule of thumb is, if you have Medicare Part A, the hospital insurance, Medicare Part B, the medical insurance, and your federal employee's health insurance plan, between those three plans, you will not pay anything out of pocket. Everything will be paid for in full. And that's the beauty. Now, one downside about Medicare Part B, unlike Medicare Part A, there is a monthly premium for Medicare Part B, and those premiums have gone up in recent years. And also, if you have a higher income when you're over 65, you do, in fact, pay more for Medicare Part B. But that should not stop an individual from enrolling in Medicare Part B. Because, as I say, all of your bills, hospital, doctors, medical equipment, will be paid for between the three types of insurances.
Ed, I've been sitting here listening to you. I've been paying attention and taking notes, but I got to tell you, it's getting more and more complicated. How in the world is anybody supposed to keep all of this straight? Seriously.
Well, it's like any other part for your retirement. Healthcare is just part of planning for your retirement. You have to save money for retirement, but you also have to think about your healthcare needs. We haven't gotten into the issue of long-term care, because Medicare and health insurance don't pay for long-term care. So I recommend that individuals who, once they reach they're in mid-career, let's say they're in their 40s, early 50s, really have to think about how they're going to be paying for their healthcare needs, and if applicable, the needs of their immediate family, in terms of the fact that things are getting more expensive, they are getting more complicated, and individuals have to really sit down with their financial advisors and talk about this. Hopefully their financial advisors, whether they are accountants or financial planners, are on top of all the information regarding the changes to Medicare.
Let's hope so. Ed Zerndorfer, a registered employee benefit consultant. He'll help you out. You can learn more and hear the entire interview on federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive. Thanks, Ed.
As always, my pleasure. Thank you.